Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I feel like you have to fight for your mental health in this job because it's so all-consuming. And I love, like, Headspace. I've really been enjoying, like, meditating. Like, it's really helped ground me. Yes. And I feel like a huge part of weight loss that no one ever talks about is, like, turning the cortisol off.
Yes.
No one ever talks about this.
Hello, and welcome back. Today, I'm joined by singer-songwriter Freya Ridings. Freya's ascent in the music industry has been steep and fast. At the time of recording, her single Lost Without You had just gone platinum, and she spent the last year performing across the world, including on The Late Late Show with James Corden, at the BBC Sports Personality of the Year Awards show, and on The Greatest Dancer. In this episode, we talk about how Freya came to write such beautiful, haunting songs, her relationship with her body, which has changed an awful lot over the past few years, which skincare she rates, and she shares some of the makeup tips she's learned from makeup artists. Here's Freya.
You're growing up, North London. Your dad is a voiceover artist, actor, musician.
Yeah,
so he's very creative.
Yeah.
And you, and what's your mum doing? Is she looking after you
guys? She was an actor and she's a writer, but she sort of stopped doing that to focus on raising me and my brother, and we were homeschooled for a bit, so she put everything into us, which is like a huge sacrifice for her, but I'm so happy she did.
So you have a very creative upbringing.
I'd say bohemian.
Bohemian.
Yeah, it's definitely not one of those like the furniture didn't took a beating kind of. It was like we definitely came before stuff, which was a really nice way around to do it, but there's a lot of instruments and books and CDs and DVDs just everywhere.
And which one of them do you get your red hair from?
This is the funny thing, they're both, well, my dad's kind of got sandy blonde and my mom's blonde, and I'm the only redhead in my family.
Are you?
But my mom has Irish roots and a bit of some Scottish Celtic roots, so I'm guessing that's, I guess they both must have the recessive gene, but no one in my family is a redhead.
Throwback from back in the day.
I don't come from a family of gingers. I wish I did.
Okay, tell me then about being the only ginger in a family of people who aren't ginger.
I mean, I was always made to feel like it was a very special thing. My mum was I remember the day before I went to school for the first time, she was so people might say things and remember they're all compliments, and I was really? And she was yeah, if they say anything about your hair, they just mean they like it. Mm-hmm. If they call you carrot top or ginger, anything like that. And I was okay. And it literally took me a couple of years to realise that being ginger wasn't a really good thing.
Oh, no, it's a lovely thing. But did they say stuff to you?
Yeah, I feel like it definitely isolates you. Because also I was much taller, because I'm 5'11", so I'm a much taller child. Yeah. I was just bigger than the other children. That kind of excludes you and makes you sort of a natural outcast, which then kind of was reinforced by because I was brought up with actors who are all sort of much more grown up. I just didn't seem to... I've never really gone with people my own age when I was growing up. Now I do, because we're all kind of grown up now.
Yeah. Did you struggle with that then? Or was it something that wasn't a big deal for you?
No, it's hugely a big deal, because I love people. And I'd been growing up in this sort of really accepting, sort of creative, bohemian family. Mm. And suddenly at school, it's not... cool to kind of be passionate and to care, or to be funny, or to have a laugh. It's just cool to not care. And I always cared so much about everything.
Yeah.
That it was kind of I realised that to hold on to who I actually was, I would just have to kind of shut down, go into my shell in school. And it was really sad. And I used to just go to the piano rooms at lunchtime, and that was how I sort of dealt with it. It was sort of thing that anchored me through the day, because it was so cripplingly lonely. It was the worst. But at the same time, it gave me this intense sort of need to tell the stories you would tell to a friend. Mm-hmm. But I only had a piano, so I used to just write songs.
So you were playing the piano from what age?
Well, my mum got me lessons when I was about 7 to 9, but I was just sort of realising how dyslexic I was at the same time, and they were suddenly realising that I was struggling hugely with keeping up with the other kids when I would really, really focus.
Academically.
It was a huge struggle. And it's that thing at school, it's if you're not good at this one specific thing, you're seen as dumb. And there are so many different kinds of intelligence, and it's so wrong to do that to children.
Yeah.
And I just feel I'm so lucky I came from a family that said, no, this is a positive. Mm. This is you see things differently. You can, you don't have to read the music, because I really couldn't. Mm. But I could hear it by ear and I could work it out, and I can still do it to this day, because that's how I learned to write.
So can you interpret me? So if you hear something, can you play it back?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. What a skill.
Instantly. Which is at the time, my teacher was that's just weird. Just play the song what I told you to. And I'm I can't. Like, if you show it to me, I can. Yeah, and yeah, they would always be like, if you can't read it, you can't play it.
Is that perfect pitch, though?
Then? No, I don't think I have perfect pitch at all. I'm in awe of people who do. But it's that vibe of, like, I can just, like...
You hear it and you can...
It's mostly, like, songs. Like, that was the thing that was, like, championed in my family. It was, like, storytelling and songwriting. So those are the two, like, holy grails.
Yeah, the two big things, which is exactly what you do now.
I remember my teacher once coming up to me when I was, like, colouring in and just being like, you can't draw outside the lines. And I remember being, like, looking up and being like, why? And she literally had no good reason. She was like, just because that's the way things are. And I'm like, well, that's wrong.
Yeah.
And I remember just being like, that was... I never used to speak back, but that was the one time this feels wrong to me.
Yeah.
Like, you should be able to...
So quite outspoken or quite strong in who you were inside, but you'd shut down effectively. You'd put a shell around yourself.
I think people are still shocked. They're like, how are you the same person? Because I was, like, so quiet. And I actually had so much to say, and I love people so much. And it was just... the darkest days. Yeah. But I look back now and I'm so grateful, because without that I wouldn't be doing what I love now.
Well, exactly. And also, kind of, I feel like at some point in an artist's life that there tends to be a time that they want to express themselves and can't through usual mediums. And
without
that pain
I wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that I have this incredible, like, it's an incredible gift to be able to, like, travel the world doing what you love and, like, sharing with people. Like,
so you're at school, this is around the early 2000s, which is a kind of interesting period, both musically and in the way people looked.
Mm-hmm.
I always think of the early 2000s being like the era of Justin, Britney, Christina, basically naked,
completely.
Very tanned, hair free, long blonde hair, and that's not how you look. So were you aware of that?
I was such a tomboy, and I just used to wear like my dad's like baggy tops and like tracky bottoms, and I was just basically very determined to not be defined by how I looked, which was strange for like a little girl, I think. But then it meant kind of like I didn't wear makeup until I was like 18, 19, like at all. But I feel like as a redhead, like mascara did actually change my life. Like I look back and I'm like, oh my god. It was definitely, I sort of used, when I started to find out about like makeup and skincare as a kind of a tool for like self-empowerment and growth. And like I kind of look back, we all look back at like trends we've had, being like, oh, do you remember that time? And then like, you know, I can do things better now. And it's that kind of feeling of autonomy of your own life.
So tell me about your skin then, growing up.
So I really struggled, because I had really bad eczema when I was growing up, when I was like a toddler, and my mum was like tireless in her way of trying to find a cure for it. Like, she wouldn't stop, and they would give her like steroid creams, and it was getting really, really bad. Like, I had friends who were like literally bandaged like mummies. And I remember it being like quite a curse of like little people at the time. I think it's just because like you're growing and your skin, there's something going on.
Eczema's very, a lot of people have it.
It's horrific. Yeah. And I just remember like just being in so much pain, and just her never stopping trying to find like a natural cure or like an oil or like something.
Yeah.
And I remember like she was saying it was like it got all the way down to my arms.
Mm.
And it meant I couldn't like play with other kids as well.
Yeah.
Like, it was actually really debilitating now I think about it. But it literally was about to start on my face, and it covered my whole body. And she managed to find, what was it? Safflower oil, and she put it in my orange juice, and it stopped. And then the next day, it went further back and back and back.
Oh, that's incredible.
Until it went away, and it never came back. I wouldn't wear makeup because I was like, oh hell no, I don't want it to give me some sort of allergic reaction.
Yeah,
because I couldn't wear face paint like as a kid. Like,
oh really?
I was sensitive redhead.
You had very sensitive skin. Yeah,
it was just one of those things where I was like, I'm not going to touch anything, and then it'll be fine. But I always remember how passionate she was about not stopping until she'd found something to help me. The steroids would help a little bit, but then it would come back more violently.
Yeah.
And she managed to find something that was obviously like an imbalance in some sort of.
So great.
Yeah, and it totally worked for me.
So you were a classic late bloomer.
Completely.
Yeah. Let's talk about your body image and your weight then when you were growing up.
Well, because I was struggling at school, I heard this thing which is really, really hits home, and it's just about any kind of addiction in any shape or form.
Mm.
And it was like the root of all addiction is the lack of connection, apparently.
Yeah.
And so at school I felt very isolated, and I definitely like turned towards like, you know, sugar and like eating just to make me feel kind of like, I don't know, safe, because I was so tired as well. I went to a school really far away to help deal with my dyslexia, and I was so tired that I would just have sugar just to keep me like awake.
Okay.
But it obviously sent me into some kind of like almost diabetic spiral I still focus on my blood sugar more than normal people
because you need the sugar to
to
keep going, and then you have more and more.
But it just kind of spiraled into this thing where like I was so much bigger than everyone in my class, and it's just like, I mean,
big are we talking?
We're talking, like, you can't buy clothes from normal shops.
Okay.
Like, it was quite a lot.
So you weren't just strong, you had fat on, like, rolls of fat on you.
No, I mean, like, I was literally, I mean, what was the size? I can't actually remember, but I think I was, like, 22 stone.
Okay.
But by my biggest.
Yeah.
Which, at the time...
At how old, approximately?
I think I was like, that was the probably the most. I was like 18 for a long time.
Yeah,
and then
it
got, like, over a couple of years, it got really bad. Mm. And I always remember knowing in my soul that one day I would lose it. And it was almost like it was a defense mechanism to stay safe.
Yeah.
I didn't feel safe.
Yeah.
And it was like a cocoon, literally a cocoon, and a defense mechanism to like not get hurt.
Yeah.
I used to come home from school every day and I would dance for like 2 hours. Yeah. And I would like, you know, just start writing a diary, which completely changed my life. Mm. Just sort of every day.
You still
I would
write
fight
a diary?
Every day.
Good. Okay.
It's like it anchors me to, it's literally like my favourite thing to sort of say to people that it will change your life.
Do you write it at night before you go to sleep?
Every night.
Yeah.
Even when I really don't want to, but it's that thing of like, last year was the first year I've done an entire year straight through every day.
Oh, great.
And it's like the amount of like, you know, countries we went to and incredible things we did. It's just to have that anchor. It's like no matter where you are in the world, what you're doing, you have that.
Yeah.
But for me, it was a huge struggle. But I always knew, like, in my soul that I was going to lose the weight to do what I love.
So when you're at your heaviest, you were in your mid-teens then. So what, like 13, 14?
No, I would say, like, 13, 14 was getting more and more. And then 16 was when it really, like, hit home.
Okay, so that is a very hard age anyway, because there's puberty. You're sort of in the late stages of puberty, so you're you know, you're getting a period, your body's changing anyway, and it's a hard time. So
it's like being a prisoner.
Yeah,
it's like being imprisoned.
Yeah. And when you're so I was also really quite overweight at like 13 and 14,
it's
and I yeah, and I also had the thing where I was like, I know that I will lose weight, like
yeah.
I but I also felt cocooned and safe under my fat, because
it's
people
true. No one's gonna no one's gonna hurt you.
No,
in this weird way you feel quite vulnerable, especially in a place you don't feel safe.
But also people immediately discount you from being beautiful, so
yeah,
you don't feel like you're in that race,
you're not running.
Yeah,
I literally remember being in the toilets one time and hearing these girls talk, and they were like talking about something, and I came out and they were like, oh we never, they were talking about another Freya in my ear actually,
yeah,
and they were like, oh no, we never talk about you.
Yeah, so you had a lot of inner
conviction. A boy I liked once actually said, you don't act like a fat person, and I was like, thanks. But to me it was like, that's not who I was. That was something that I found school incredibly traumatic, and I felt like that was a reaction to that trauma.
Yeah.
And now the second that I was outside of it and I felt like I was doing what I was meant to be doing and what I loved,
yeah,
I still worked incredibly hard to lose it, but it wasn't as hard as I think people might, like, mentally I didn't have to have it anymore.
Yeah. So what did you do to lose it? Were you quite sensible?
Well, there was this book by like Paul McKenna. Mm-hmm. I remember my mum got it from like a secondhand shop, and I was like, well, I'll just read it just to see. And it just seemed to, like, I tried a lot of different things, but this just seemed to be like the opposite of starving yourself and about listening to yourself. And I started applying it to all areas of my life and about consciously enjoying and being thankful for the things in your life, whether that's food or like people or your experiences. And it just kind of was like a self-fulfilling prophecy. I just started to enjoy what I did more in my life, and it kind of just
disappeared. Were your parents concerned about you at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they were never one of those parents who were like, you have to lose weight, like, at all. Okay. They were like, we're just concerned, like, about you being happy as a person.
Yeah.
And them taking that huge leap of faith and, you know, remortgaging so I could go to the Brit school.
Yeah.
Which is what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I owe them so much for that.
So when you first got to the Brit school,
yeah,
you walk in, and I'm picturing, because I've never been to a stage school, but I'm picturing fame.
Okay, there was one day where everyone got on the tables and danced, but that was a very rare day. And
that sounds amazing.
That was the musical theatre people. We had a great time. But the people in the music strand were weirdly kind of shut off and kind of quite distant. Like, there was no kind of camaraderie. Like, there wasn't the musical theatre or theatre. And I'm used to that kind of world, because I come from, like, a family of actors.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, do you guys want to, like, collaborate? And they just look at me like, they were like, no, I really
no,
don't.
We're solo people.
Yeah, like, we're actually really cool, and you're obviously not. And I'm like, okay, don't worry, I'll be in the practice rooms writing.
Yeah.
And it's just funny now, because, like,
so you were writing at the time, you're playing the piano, you play the guitar.
Yeah.
What else, do you play anything else?
Ukulele. But it's mostly, I never saw myself as, like, a musician.
Okay.
I still don't. I just use it to write songs. And I remember one day one of the teachers who used to actually be quite, like, she'd always say to the girls who would come in, she'd be like, oh my God, you guys look so beautiful. And then I'd come in and she'd be like, oh God.
Aww.
I remember her chasing me down the hallway being like, you look so much better than you used to. And I was like, you're a terrible teacher.
but there is something, or in my experience, tell me if this is yours or not, but in my experience, when people then say to you, you look great, you've lost so much weight, you almost want to slap them, because
you're like, how dare you?
Yeah, you're like, this is my body. Like, I know that, like, it's nice when people say you look good, but I don't want to be, like, weighed up and sized up and judged by people in that way.
You know the way that people like to tell people that they're going to lose weight?
Yeah.
For me, that's, like, my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Because what I like to do is surprise people with insane, like, transformations that they didn't see coming and be like, ta-da!
Yeah.
That's what I like.
You're a showgirl. Yeah.
I like the big reveal. And I like, you know, not seeing someone for a couple of years and then being like, damn, like, where did you come from?
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's like, I know that sort of like ugly duckling syndrome, but it's like, it's the reason why, like, I know in like deep down when people are genuine and when they're not, because I was the person that they completely disregarded as not important.
Yeah.
And so I know what it's like now.
Yeah, and you were never going to be
the person. It's a gift that I will treasure.
Do you love makeover films?
Oh my God, I'm obsessed. It's like everyone does. Like Princess Diaries or like, everyone like obsessively loves those
films. But I think if you have ever felt like an ugly duckling, they mean more to you. Because you kind of have, you know, projected yourself into that thing and thought, one day I'll wear a dress and it'll be great. And like, kind of,
literally, I did a fitting today with like Richard Quinn, who's like this incredible designer, like the Queen went to his show last year, and I'm playing at his fashion show. Wow. I remember, like, a couple of years ago, I was shopping at, like, charity shops, and now I get, like, a couture, like, ball gown.
I mean, you
are
living
like,
the makeover
film. Literally, I'm like, someone should be filming this.
Lost Without You. Huge hit.
Thank you.
When did you write that?
So it's this crazy thing where I guess it's about 3.5-4 years ago now. Because the years just keep rolling on and the song is still there. It's just one of those funny things that I've been writing for so long, but when heartbreak actually hits you, it's like, it seems to come from a deeper place. Mm-hmm. Like, I normally write, like, a chorus first, and then, like, I kind of go back to, like, a middle eight. This literally, I came in, sat down at the piano, shut my eyes, and sang it from the first line to the last line completely in one go.
Oh, really?
I'm not even joking. Like, I just sang it in one go, opened my eyes, and I was crying. I don't even remember it. It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
But it just felt like it came from this really honest place.
Have you spoken about who the heartbreak was?
I never say who my songs are about, but I always write from personal experience.
Fine.
It's just the best way of healing and turning something so painful and so lonely into something so just unbelievably magical.
And which artists do you love? Like, whose career do you like and who do you look up to?
I grew up with, like, these, you know, strong female singer-songwriters, so Taylor Swift and Adele, Amy Winehouse and Florence were, like, my four holy grail women. And I still think
I can
they
see
are,
you in that sort of bracket.
I love them to bits.
Yeah.
And when Taylor Swift added my song, literally straight after it had come out, like, months before anything had happened with it, she added it to her playlist of, like, songs Taylor loves. Maybe drop my phone. I still cannot deal with that because she was my beyond idol. It was like six, eight months before like Love, it was on Love Island. So
right,
she was like, that was, she was
so
there from
that,
the first
that
day.
Song is like your big song. That's, you know, the song that sort of has defined your career up to now to some extent. That's the biggest one.
I always love ballads. I love big ballads. Yeah. And at school that made me so uncool. Like there was no words for that. They would just be like, it's a what?
Like a Celine Dion
it's
ballad?
Like big pop ballads. Like they've just, they make my life. I love them. I just feel like they're that kind of wail from a place of like just
but also,
despair and like love. And it's
if
just,
you can sing, it must be so satisfying to let it out in that way.
Do you know what? Right, the bit in Lost Without You where there's a slightly like, waily bit. I kind of where.
Yeah.
I remember when I sang that for the first time, I was like, I'll obviously go back and put some lyrics in there. Yeah. And then I kind of thought about it. I was like, no, I literally just sang that because I'm like super, super sad.
Yeah.
And I feel like everyone just to a certain level wants to do that.
Yeah.
Just sort of let it out.
Yeah. That's what it feels like. It feels like a sort of bloodletting.
And then, I get like friends of friends like sending pictures of like, there was like a friend I have and it was like a lad's night out and they all were all singing it together and they all went, like all together even boys are doing it. This is crazy.
When you were singing songs and you were trying to sort of make it, what was your look?
I just remember being like, one of my goals was to buy something from, like, was to buy, like, a dress from Topshop because I was like, I would love to be able to fit into Topshop. That would be, like, my goal.
Yeah. So weight was still quite important to you at that point.
Well, hugely. Because it was like, for me, I know people always want to lose weight for, like, you know, it's just, it's very self-empowering. But for me, I honestly knew that I couldn't do the job that I wanted to do with that energy level. Like, I wanted the energy.
Right.
More than anything.
Yeah.
Like, so now when I have the energy to, like, tour the world and, like, just do these incredible, like, it's like a marathon.
Now it feels to me that the shift is no longer on being skinny and looking like a model, but more on being fit enough to do the job.
Freaking hell, so, it's like being an athlete. And I sit down for shows. Like, I was talking to Isabella Summers, who's the machine to Florence the Machine, and I was talking about how incredibly in awe I am of Florence being able to run and sing.
She's a very physical performer, isn't she?
She can run and sing for, like, 2 hours. And I'm like, can you run for 2 hours? I can barely, run for... And sing. I'm like, I'm so
I can't
in awe.
Even limply dance for 2 hours.
Me too!
At a wedding. So
I'm, so in awe of her. Yeah. And so it's just things like that, like, just kind of working out the kind of woman and artist that I wanted to be.
Yes.
But I always saw it as, like, a sort of cocoon time.
Mm.
And there were people at the Brit School who were like, they've been signed very young, and they were like, I've met, like, we've made it, guys, like, just relax. And I was like, no, this now is the bit where we work.
So tell me then about what exercise you found that you liked and still like.
Well, it's been a really funny kind of progression, because I was determined to do it without any kind of extreme sort of, like, diet. I don't believe in diets.
So you didn't
like,
want to punish yourself at all?
In fact, the opposite. Yeah. I find that a lot of weight comes from self-hate.
Yes.
And it's actually, you can't change it through more self-hate. You actually have to start to be kind to yourself. And that's the hardest part of it, is accepting that, you know, just finding the moments where you feel most beautiful and empowered. And for me, it was lifting my mattress up off the floor and dancing to, like, Taylor Swift and Adele and, like, Amy Winehouse and, like, just really... And, like, Noel Rogers and Chic and stuff, mm-hmm. which I just found out I'm singing with after the Brits. I'm like,
no, you're not.
I literally can't believe it because I love him.
Amazing. Well done. Yeah. But I mean, I'm not surprised. You're very talented, but still amazing.
No, but it's full circle. Yeah. These are the people that inspired me to get out of this dark hole.
Yeah, and now
hole.
You're in there. Their league.
I used to do a lot of like visualizations and like visualizing what I would want the future to be like. And to a certain level, I'd never thought that any of it could come true.
Right.
But you just do it and you just...
What were your doubts? You know, because you're enormously talented. You must have been told that your whole life.
No, I got told that I had to write happy songs. I got told that I had to like not have my second name. And like, you know, they'll always try and make you smaller. Mm-hmm. I think that's something my mum taught me. She was like, they will always try, but you just have to hold your ground and be like, no, take up as much space as you take up.
Yeah.
And it's that feeling of like, I'm now physically smaller, but I feel a lot like bigger in terms of like my spirit and my soul. Yeah. I feel like much more empowered by what I've done. And because I did it on my own, with a very, you know, small support group of like my family and like a very few people. I'm just now I have so much more gratitude for what's happening now, because I know what it's like to live without it.
Yeah.
To really live without it.
Yeah. And it's interesting, isn't it? It seems to me to be a very female thing to want to shrink yourself physically and, you know, I'm not in this room, don't worry about me. I'm nice, I'm polite and all of this.
No.
And it's like, actually, at some point, I think if you work on yourself, you get to a point where you're like, no, this is how big I am, physically, mentally. This is how noisy I am. And like, that's fine.
Yeah, like, my mum, like, I was not raised to be a, like, when strangers would be like, oh, give me a kiss. And I'd be like, no. And they'd be like, go on. And my mum would be like, she doesn't want to do that. Yeah. And I've dressed myself since I was like 3. I used to wear welly boots back to front. Like, she would just let me be who I was and encourage, like, a loud laugh and, like, you know, like, you know, finding things funny and enjoying your food and like, you know, just being unapologetically yourself. Yeah. And I feel like school just sort of tried to crush that out of me, and I just held on to it. I had to hold on to it. Mm-hmm. And it was dark, but it gave me a great sense of perspective in terms of you can plan things like 10 years in the future and they can come.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So let's go back to then makeup.
Yeah, oh my God, I love makeup so much.
And skincare. Actually, let's do makeup and skincare together. So tell me, you're at the Brit School, developing your, I'm going to use the word look again. Oh, you're developing your look.
I always had my hair. My hair was like who I was.
Okay.
And I was always pale and I was always very proud of that. I wore Factor 50 every day.
Mm-hmm. Which brand? Do you have a brand you love?
Well, oh my God, I do. But I can send it to you. Basically, I really struggled to find a sun cream that wouldn't like break me out in like
some hives. Is it HelioCare?
HelioCare is amazing.
Okay, fine.
I use the tinted moisturizer HelioCare.
Yeah.
But there's another brand that's actually incredible. I'll send it to you to link because they sent it to me and I was like, well, this is definitely not going to work for me because Factor's higher than like 30 normally gave me spots and I was like, that scares me.
Yeah.
But I wear it every day and I'm so happy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've literally learned so much about skincare and it's my absolute absolute passion.
How have you learned? Have you just been into it or has someone helped you?
Well, I didn't really have like acne growing up. And then suddenly, like, I don't know if it was like the touring, like the traveling and like the eating, like a sort of weird diet when you travel. I mean, I like fighting for your health on tour. Like, that's one of my favourite things, is to, like, try and get enough water and actually, like, be healthy enough on tour and bring green tea in my bag wherever I go. It's, like, my thing. But I suddenly started to get, like, cystic acne and it freaked me out, especially when, like, you're on, like, cameras, like, HD cameras that come up really close to your face. You're like, oh, hell no. Like, you just don't want it. You're like, please, God, no. Especially when they're leaving scars. That really started to freak me out.
Yes.
So I became absolutely obsessed with, like, trying to find, you know, products or skincare, things that could change that.
Yeah.
And thank God now I found like a very sort of stripped back skincare regime that actually has kept it all at bay, and I'm so grateful, honestly. So for me, a huge thing was like taking my makeup off without wipes. So I started using like a balm cleanser. I used Blue Moon by Sunday Riley. Freaking life-changing. My manager said that and I was like, I'll see, because I love Sunday Riley, but I was like, how good can a cleansing balm be? Freaking life-changing. Unbelievable. I do it every night.
Take it off with a flannel.
Take it off with a flannel, and it's just something about it. It's quicker and it's better. I do it after every show, travel, every hotel room.
But when you're in a hotel room, there's something nice about putting a hot flannel on your face. I know it sounds bizarre, clean. But you feel good
and
somehow.
Your skin like can breathe again, and it's like absolutely reassuring. There's a glycolic acid tonery thing called Liquid Gold Alpha H, which is my absolute holy grail. I prefer it a lot to like Pixi Tonic.
People who love that product.
No, it's unreal. It's unbelievable.
How often do you use it?
I would say every night that I don't use retinol, pretty much.
Wow, you are up on your skincare.
So retinol for me was the big life-changing thing, because I was like, no matter how much I exfoliated with like glycolic or like salicylic or like lactic, I'm obsessed with all acids, because I didn't realize that it's gentler than scrubbing your face. Way gentler. And also it can reduce like scarring and stuff that I was really starting to get worried about. On tour, like, we do a sheet mask every day. Like, we're obsessed with like Korean sheet masks.
So you glycolic. Go back to the routine, then we'll go to the sheet mask. So you glycolic off, or retinol. Which retinol do you use?
I use the Murad retinol.
Fine.
And I'm
the encapsulated
The serum.
Yeah.
Because I saw it and I'd heard that it's the only thing deep enough to like, firstly, it stops aging. And it can penetrate cystic acne. And it's a huge investment. But it's one of those things that, when I like, we've got this incredible friend and stylist, Ella, who is incredible at style, but she was washing her face with like a men's all-in-one body wash, and I was like, babe, I was like, we're gonna sort you out, like, and for Christmas I got her like a cleanser, and she was like, my skin's changed, and I was like, and it's changed the way she feels about herself, and she's like, oh, I'm going on like dates and I feel girly, and like, that makes me so happy.
Yeah, but skin is a very big thing. Like, I think until people have better skin, they don't realise how debilitating having bad skin is.
It's freaking crippling.
Yeah, it makes you feel much better when your skin's glowy. You're like, oh, it's okay, people can look at me.
There was a point on tour, like, I look back at it and it's like, we've been doing like sheet masks every day, and we basically came off tour looking better than we started.
What sheet mask do you use? Anything Korean?
Okay, so Patchology.
Okay, yes, Patchology. Okay,
the Patchology brightening mask is probably the best mask I've ever used. I use it before every single TV show.
Okay.
And I know Skin 111 is incredible.
Yeah.
They're diamond.
Yeah, 111 Skin. It's
stunning.
Yeah, I love their stuff.
I know.
It's enormously expensive. It's so expensive.
But that's why I kind of like, I use Patchology for like every day.
Yeah.
And then I use like 111 if
Oscars
we're doing like
111.
Yeah, like we're doing like James Corden in LA, like I did it that day.
Yeah.
And especially for like the under eyes, but we do 2 sheet masks every plane journey we do.
So how do you,
like, we take that shit seriously? Yeah.
So how do you prep when you're doing something big, like going on the Late Show with James Corden?
Yeah.
So you put your sheet mask on. Do you have a quiet moment to yourself? Are you quite into, because, you know, if you're a visualizer, are you someone who likes to have a moment to gear yourself up?
It's one of those funny things that there's just people around you and you're doing interviews and you're probably in hair and makeup from like 8 a.m. and you're not playing until 9 p.m. So it's a long day of like constant sort of makeup touch-ups, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you do have to fight for your, like, I feel like you have to fight for your mental health in this job, because it's so all-consuming. And I love like Headspace. I've really been enjoying like meditating. Like, it's really helped ground me. Yes. And I feel like a huge part of weight loss that no one ever talks about is like turning the cortisol off.
Yes.
No one ever talks about this.
Yeah.
Because if your brain thinks that you're in danger, it doesn't matter if you eat like a rice cake a day, you're not gonna lose any weight.
Completely.
Like, you have to calm down at a core level for your body to be like, I'm safe, I can lose weight. Which is a huge part of why I'm like such an advocate of like people enjoying the exercise they do.
Yes.
Like, you can't lose
weight. What exercise do you do?
Okay, so I started off dancing in my bedroom, because it was like just fun.
Yeah.
And then I started
running.
A great
way to like up your endorphins, isn't it? If you're listening to something you like.
Well, I just used to visualize the kind of person that I wanted to be and I could see it. Yeah. I was like, even if other people can't,
So this morning, I watched Dirty Dancing last night. I just love that film. But this morning, I was listening to the soundtrack and I was doing what would usually be my quite pious exercise regime. And I just kept the music. I like yoga quite a lot, but like but I've basically mixed my yoga with like star jumps and stuff. So I kind of basically stretch out yogically and then do some jumping. But anyway, today I was like, I'm just going to listen to my music. And God knows what the people across the road must have thought. But I was like dancing to Dirty Dancing. I was like, this is great. I feel good. And it didn't feel like exercise. It just felt like I was moving. Like it was great. Yeah.
There's something so empowering about enjoying
your
dancing.
Body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then once you're sort of grateful for it, you don't want to hurt it obsessively. Because obviously you're traveling like... It's really, really hard to have a routine. Yeah. Like, every day is different. Some days you wake up at 3 a.m. Some days you can wake up at, like, 12. It's bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's one of those fun sort of Russian roulette things. But what I always do every day is I do Ballet Beautiful, which is, like, it's a hybrid of ballet and Pilates. And there are these videos, and you can do them anywhere.
YouTube.
With your own... she used to be on YouTube, and now she has a website, and you can... She's called Mary Helen Bowers. I freaking love her. All the Victoria's Secret models do it because you can do it with your own body weight.
Okay, yeah.
Or like leg weights or whatever.
Better.
There was a time I was traveling with a kettlebell and it broke my suitcase, so I stopped doing that.
Yeah.
But it's the most, it's incredible. These tiny, tiny like sort of ballet Pilates movements, and they're so strengthening and...
Oh, that sounds great.
My thing is like I do a minimum of 15 minutes a day.
Okay.
That's my goal, right, for every day is to do 15 minutes ballet in the morning and to write my diary.
At night. And whatever happens in the middle.
But those two things ground me. Oh, it's almost like building up stamina. Like, it's like on tour. Like, I used to be like, oh my God, one show. And now I'm like, I do 20 shows in a row and you're traveling. And the tour bus has literally changed my life.
Yeah.
Because it means you actually get to sleep. I don't think anyone realises the difference.
How many people are on a tour bus?
We had 11 last time.
Okay.
And it's like, they become your family.
Yeah.
And you have a kettle and you have like a little, like two front rooms. You have like incredible movie nights.
How many loos do you have?
Okay, you have one, but you wake up and you're there.
Okay.
So most people, you sleep through the travel.
Okay.
So you wake up and you're already in the city you need to be in.
Okay, fine. So it's not like you have to worry about who's going to use the shower or
There's always a shower at the venue. And the venues, the bigger they get, are like nicer.
Okay.
So it's all good. Like there's an element of like it being a bit like camping, but it's camping when you've got like a TV.
Yeah, but the thing is, getting on flights and then like checking in and all that is just hellish. So if you can go somewhere and
I did that like every single day for a while on support tours, and I'm not gonna lie, like that's the most drained I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
Because there's no, you're right, there's no place for you to just keep all your stuff and just be calm. I work with makeup artists who I absolutely adore. They are complete, like, I just have so much respect for them because I know what an art form it is. And I've learned so much off them. I bought a lot of the same stuff that you use on me.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
so what have
it's
you found?
It's
what
really
have you
crap for me because like that's all like? I do is like watch. Well, the huge part of it is skincare.
Yeah.
Like a huge part of it. And then you suddenly work out how important it is to have that canvas ready. Yeah. And they appreciate it so much when I've done masks and when I've tried.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, you know, sometimes people come in and they haven't even washed their face and it's like a nightmare.
Yeah.
And they're like, you always come in, you've done a mask like 6 a.m.
in
the
good
cab.
Condition,
you have no idea how many cab drivers I've scared. They turn around, I'm doing a face mask and they're like, Jesus Christ. And I'm like, they're completely like traumatized.
Yeah.
But I mean, a huge part of it, I've learned a lot about like less. They use a lot less. Like when you take off a makeup after having your makeup artist do your makeup, it's like, there's a lot less on the towel than it would be if you did it yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they do a lot of like building, a lot of shearing out and a lot of like gentle.
And also maybe the choice of what, if you're doing a lip, you do the lip, but then you kind of just make the rest of the face balance out.
Oh yeah,
out.
A lip, I've never seen a makeup artist not do it with a lip brush. There are certain things that like, just little tools that make a huge difference.
Yeah.
There's also, what is it? Because I have about 3 or 4 makeup artists that we always use, but there's Rebecca and Becky, and they are absolute legends, and we've worked together for many years, and they know my skin really well.
Yeah.
And they always do a very kind of like natural, like youthful, glowy. There's a lot of like,
what foundation do they use on you?
Well, there's a mix of like NARS and MAC.
Okay.
And it's really fascinating, but actually it's mostly like the fact that they put liquid highlighter under the foundation.
Yeah.
So it kind of, you glow from
from
within.
Yeah, from under.
It's freaking genius.
Yeah.
For, especially for pale girls. Yeah. There is, you know, the liquid highlighter.
Becca Shimmering Skin?
No, I have that. Yeah. What is,
NARS?
No, like the in the pipette.
Oh, not
Cover Effects.
Okay.
The Cover Effects drops, right?
Yeah, they're amazing.
I got
like the white.
in Halo. Okay. And Halo is a blue undertone. And it's freaking terrifying. You look like an alien, right?
Okay.
But what Rebecca always does is she taps it on my cheekbones.
Yeah.
And I always look a bit like an alien. You put your foundation over the top, it just looks like your cheekbones are on another level.
Yeah.
And then she'll do like a light dusting of like Bobbi Brown over the top.
Yeah.
Or like Becca or by Terry. But it's just, since I've got that, it's transformed my life. Yeah. Glossier really, really changed my life in terms of when I do my own makeup, using less. Yeah. I would do a cat eye on myself every day.
Yeah.
And I realised that you actually don't have to. And it actually kind of ages you in a weird way. Yeah. The less is more. And also to focus on, like, dewy. I'm obsessed with RMS Beauty at the moment.
You look very dewy at the moment.
Thank
Living
you.
Luminizer.
The Living Luminizer freaking changed my life. Yeah. Because it's that thing of when I first tried it, I was like, well, this is really subtle compared to, like, the blinding, like, Fenty ones, which I love as well for a night out. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's a night out and stage makeup, and then there's day to day. Or for me, there is anyway. It sounds
totally,
like
it was for you. Totally. Especially, like, when you're doing a show, like, I get out my Stila, like, liquid metal. I'm like on the eyelids, a quick boom.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like I'm just obsessed with like really glowy, like fresh, like very pink cheeks. Mm. I know some people are quite like more bronzer than blush because they're kind of more tanned, and that looks incredible on them. But on me, I'm like obsessed with blush.
Yeah.
Blush is everything.
Which colour do you like? I love
Beam. Glossier is one of my favourites. The watercolour blush in what is it? Water Lily. It's got like a weird purple undertone.
Yeah.
But also it's the fact that they use a lot of like really light brushes. Yeah. Makeup artists, they never use heavy brushes.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
They're just like a light dusting of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's that thing of like that mindset of that the less you put on, the better your look.
But it's almost using loads of stuff, but a tiny bit of loads of stuff.
And they'll layer.
Yeah.
They'll layer.
Yeah. And what about mascara then? And what's your...
It's so funny. Every makeup artist says drugstore mascara is as good as expensive. And I can attest to that because I've done both and it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
What they actually mostly do is they use individuals on tops to give it that sort of fluttery effect. Mm-hmm. And they're easier to put on than strips sometimes.
Yeah.
But I love the Ardell Demi Wispies. They're my favourite.
Yeah.
And for eyebrows, I've just found a trick.
Yeah.
So I was using the Dip Brow Pomade Anastasia Beverly Hills, and I was using it so wrong. I was putting on, like, I was painting it on.
Yeah.
Like, and they were like, oh, hell no. And she got it. She was like, you take off most of it on your hand.
Yeah.
You brush in the direction of your hairs. You don't, like, so if your hair's out, go up to the side. Don't go up. Yeah. Just go to the side.
Yeah.
And then you don't need brow gel. Just spray hairspray on it and just fluff them up. And it looks so much more natural.
Yeah.
It's like
hairspray on brows is great. Oh, but you do have to spray it on something before you put it on.
You have to spray it on a spoon. And spoolies are everything.
Yeah, or toothbrush. But
also, I'm absolutely obsessed with, have you tried nipple balm for lip gloss?
It's brilliant.
It's the best. Yeah. Hands down the best. I always have one in my pocket.
And what lipstick, when you're doing red lipstick, do you wear?
So, I think Rebecca, for the Greatest Dancer, we did the TV show on Saturday.
Yeah.
She did a mix of three different MAC ones. I love Ruby Woo.
Yeah.
I love Ruby Woo.
It's quite drying though, Ruby Woo, so you have to put lip balm on.
You have to put some lip balm on first.
Yeah.
Also, lip scrubs.
Yes.
Life-changing.
Do you make them yourself or do you buy them?
Well, I can do both because I really enjoy like making like scrubs and stuff at home, but there's some really nice like vanilla-y ones.
Mm.
Or just even brushing your lips with like a toothbrush. I've been on the search for a perfume that I like was mine for so long.
Yeah.
And I used to like, I was like, oh, I'm going to be growing up, I'll buy Chanel. And it was like, I just felt like old. And then I used to like try out all these sort of, I don't know, like boutique-y ones. And I was like, they're just not me.
Yeah.
They're really not me.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like Byredo for candles.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some people smell amazing with them, but it wasn't quite right
for me.
Do
you have a favourite Byredo candle?
100% Bibliotheque.
Okay.
It's out of this freaking world. Yeah, I know everyone likes Treehouse. Treehouse is amazing. But
no, I like Bibliotheque. I think it's nice.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's got like a nice vanilla undertone, but I want to get the rest of them. Yeah. I love candles. I love Diptyque as well. Diptyque is my life. I actually got my brother into Diptyque.
Do you have a favourite Diptyque?
He wears the fig one.
Yes. Okay.
Freaking love that.
Yeah.
But no, this is the life-changing thing. So, Glossier has a perfume. That is hands down. Yeah. I'm on my fifth bottle.
Yeah, it's great.
Sixth
it's
bottle.
Great. It smells slightly different on everyone too.
No, that's the thing. It mixes with your own like
self.
You with your own oils and basically like is a heightened version of you.
Mm.
So whatever your pheromones are, it's like you on another level. I've literally been chased down the street by women being like, "What are you wearing?
Have you?"
Yeah.
It's interesting. Before we started recording, you said that you were well into products, and I was like, "Yeah, okay."
No,
but you are. You're fully into it. You've got your head screwed on so well for someone like embarking on such a big career. I think I can't wait to see what you're going to do next. It's going to be quite epic.
Thank you.
Are you writing?
We're literally getting back into the writing mode because it's crazy. Like you finish your album or like in the final stages of it and then you're back into writing for the next one, and I'm like, I'm just loving it because it's that you go through different phases of being like, oh, I really miss being at home. Then you're at home for a long time, they're like, oh, I want to go on tour. You kind of get that balance.
Where's your gold disc now?
Platinum.
Sorry.
No.
Do you get a gold and a platinum, or do you just get a...
Well, this is the thing. Like, when it went to gold, I was like, we should just get it now. Like, what if it doesn't, like, go further? And everyone was like, hold your ground. I'm like, but I can't handle this.
Yeah.
And now it, like, arrived today, and I just... It feels like one of those pinch yourself moments.
Are you going to have it framed?
It is framed.
Oh.
It's massive.
Amazing.
It's just... But for me, like, the real honour is getting to work with people that I love and respect on a daily basis. Yeah. Like, having, like, the friends and having that tribe that I didn't have growing up. Like, that to me is worth a thousand.
Well, basically, that little girl who was like, one day, you are where you wanted to be, which is incredible.
I spent a lot of time, like, on my own, just like, one day it'll be okay, and it is. So,
it's like a Disney film.
But... I feel like I would rather buy my own castle than, like, marry someone for theirs.
Thank you so much for coming on the
show. Thank you for having me. Let me talk about my favourite things.
Yeah, I know, it's exciting. I'm going to give you all those recommendations now. Thank you very much, Freya.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. There are plenty more in the archive if you'd like to have a beautiful lives binge. Otherwise, do remember to listen next week when I'll be joined by a new guest. And subscribe if you'd like that episode to slide onto your phone or whatever device you listen to podcasts on as soon as it's live. See you next week. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.